Coach, appreciate the time. It's been a little bit since we've been in here for Panther Talk. On the podcast, first appearance on the podcast. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it, and I'm excited about it. I know you've been watching a lot of basketball, and baseball, and softball, and swimming, and track, and you name it. You've been busy.
On. Yeah, no, it's been fun couple of months, but I'm glad spring football's back. Yeah. Gives us a taste of it before we move on to the fall. I know you really enjoy this time of the year. You know, the recruiting process. You know, a little time off the field, a little time family to reset. You know, the vacation's nice, but when pads being put back on soon.
Right.
I know this is a really fun time of year. I think we're having a scrimmage soon in Liberty City.
Yep.
Got the spring game April 22nd. What do you really enjoy about this time of the year, and how does it feel different this time around compared to year one last year?
Well, it's always exciting getting the guys back out there on the field. We're able to do more with them now in the offseason than we were before with the new NCAA rules. We're able to have more meetings. We're able to have some walkthroughs and able to use a ball out there in that. Be around them in agility, so that's been good. But we've been out there a few days now, and excited seeing them moving around, and we're bigger and stronger. Excited about that. Noel Durfee and the strength guys have done a phenomenal job in the weight room with them, and all the nutritionists and everybody's done incredible. We've been utilizing that to the best with our food and all the nutritional values that we're bringing to them. It's been great.
15 months into all of this.
Yep.
Plenty of memorable moments.
Seems like 15 days, to be honest with you.
Quick. That flew by. So many moments to reflect upon. You can start to tell stories about FIU. You know, you don't have to tell about your previous stops and say, hey, we did this here at FIU, whether it was the comeback here in overtime against La Tech or the really fun back-to-back wins on the road. When you look at your evaluation of year one, we haven't had a chance to really sit down and reflect a little bit, and it's certainly more fun to look forward to what's next. But when you look at year one, you know, what really encouraged you about the start you've been able to get off to in the 15 months,
right?
And what also are you looking to take steps forward in now?
Well, I think year one, our administration and Scott and Ken Jessel and everybody behind us has been encouraging. We've been able to make strides in a lot of different areas of our program. And academically, our guys have done really well. Yeah. So all of the foundational pieces are there, and we got to keep improving those areas. Football-wise, we made strides during the season. We had some really good days. We had some really bad days. but that's be honest with you, that's expected. Yeah. You have to go through those different trials, those different ups and downs to keep building and to keep growing. And so I saw that. I saw resilience with our football team. I saw resilience with our coaches. That's extremely important, that they kept pushing and kept growing and kept working through all of that. And then I've seen this spring practice, we're definitely farther ahead than we were this time last year. Sure. Yeah. You know, we've gone back to ground zero and everything, though. You can't skip any steps along the way. We've just able to instead of crawling up a couple of steps, we've been able to actually step and run up a few of them.
Yeah.
So therefore, our process is farther along, and the kids are in tune, and I'm excited about where we are at this point.
Yeah, you talk about bad days and good days. That one bad day in Bowling Green made the day in Las Cruces really sweet good day. And that was just from 1 week to the next. You saw the belief and just some really neat moments. There's plenty of guys on this team, plenty of storylines moving forward that I want to get to and talk about, the guys that are going to be factors and talking about their journeys. But I want to rewind a little bit with you here. I think talking about the formative sections, the formative years of coaches or players' careers is always really interesting, and kind of the randomness that may come along with that. And I was talking with like an aspiring broadcaster the other day, just out of college, 22, 23 years old, and telling them about my star in local news, Wilmington, North Carolina. You know, I wanted to be a sports anchor, but I was still covering fish festivals, interviewing the local sheriff violent crime.
Fish fries aren't bad to cover now. Come on now, fish fries
aren't
bad.
That's true. I may have got something out of that.
Okay, all right.
The violent crime stories and the city council meetings, they weren't as fun. A lot of random stuff, now we're really having fun with the play-by-play.
Right.
But I was alluding to the randomness of it. So, you look at coaches' careers, and it doesn't always start glamorous. Like Nick Saban is a GA at Kent State. That's where one of the greatest careers started, GA at Kent State.
Right.
Look at your career. when you graduated Georgia Tech, I think you spent the next year in logistics at Macro Systems, if that's correct.
Yeah.
And a couple of years later, the summer of 90, I had no idea until I was doing my deep dive.
Yes.
A couple of summers later, you were with the Platteville Battlehawks.
Yes.
Which, if you don't know where Platteville is, I'm sure there's a Platteville in America.
Yeah.
There's also Platteville, Germany.
Yes.
Yeah. Platteville, Germany. So yeah. You coached football in Germany. When you were working in logistics.
We actually stayed in Deggendorf right there.
So I want to get into this. Yeah, when you were working in logistics, were you thinking to yourself, I got to get back into football immediately? Or when you were in Germany, were you thinking, a little overwhelmed over here, I'm just in my early years, or was it one of the most fun times of your career? Can you kind of take me through those two really interesting times in your career?
So when I graduated from Georgia Tech, I had always been in football, and our family had been, and so I interviewed for different jobs, and I actually sent out, at that time, we didn't really have true internet.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
This is 1989, 88.
Yeah.
So we had snail mail. So okay. I sent out letters and different things about looking in to go to grad school and be a GA at different spots and places where I never really got anything back much of it, and talked to a few coaches that I knew, like at Tech and some other places. They didn't have any openings at that time.
Right.
And then I interviewed for a bunch of jobs, and I got a job in Nashville at Micros Foods, which I was a logistics manager for the whole entire plant.
Okay.
Because my business management degree from Georgia Tech was able to help me get in the door there. So I did that for basically a year. And then in the summer, a friend of mine, an older friend of mine, who actually coached for my father at Vanderbilt when I actually played at Vanderbilt the first 2 years,
right.
Had came down with cancer. And then his best friend came in town, and we're actually sitting in the waiting room while he was getting surgery. And he had gotten a phone call earlier that day from Ray Goff, because he was the outside linebacker coach for Georgia, Dickie Clark. And he goes, and this is July.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, we need to get a secondary guy in here that can get in school at Georgia that wants to coach football. Do you know anybody? He goes, I know one person, I'll ask him. So he looked across at he was on landline at that time. Yeah. It happened, so he came in to me that day. He said, Mike, I want to talk to you about this, and I didn't know it was coming. So then I went home and talked to Tricia, and she said, if we're ever going to do this, we're going to do it. So we went to grad school and was a GA at Georgia. That's
right.
How I got into it.
That was between the macros and Germany, right?
Well, yeah. So what I did with yes. And so what we did, though, is so we moved there, and Tricia worked in the Fine LJ department because she was a licensed broker that she was being. And then I started coaching, and we lived in a garage apartment because that's all we could afford. It was 225 and a half Milledgeville Circle. So I told my beautiful wife, one day my goal is to get her to a whole number. So we really enjoyed that time. We lived upstairs. You had one air condition. So in the summer, we slept in the main room because that's where the air condition was. In the winter, we slept in the bedroom.
Oh, my gosh.
Really. And that was a phenomenal time in our lives. It really was. Learned a lot of football. Learned that. Got my master's there. And then got the job at Davidson College as a defensive coordinator. I was there 1 year. And then I got a job at 1AA UT Martin.
Right.
And when I went to UT Martin, my brother had played over in Germany. And they were needing a coach. So in the break time there in the summer a little bit to make some extra money and coach, Trish and I went over there, and I coached for two different summers over there, making a little extra money and then coaching football as the head coach and doing all that. It was a great experience. It was a ton of fun. They'd have two Americans come over, and one would play offense, one would play defense, and then we still stay in touch with Jurgen Kotz. He might come to a game. He didn't come last year, but I think he might come this year.
Yeah, I read an article in German. I had to use Google Translate. Yeah. But that coach, you guys stayed in touch. He'd fly over here.
Yeah, so it's that was a great experience for us. And then I kept being the defense coordinator at UT Martin and went on from there.
Did you know any German when you went over there?
What?
Did you pick up any German?
No,
did you know any German?
No, I didn't know any German. No, I didn't. The funniest thing, though, they're having Burger Fest in Deggendorf where we were staying. And so they had big Burger Fest, big fair, and everything going along. And my wife and I were walking down there, stopping at different places to eat. And all of a sudden, we hear this huge tent full of people going, "Sweet Home Alabama." singing in, it's in English, but German accents.
Right.
I go, what in the world is going on? We went down there and they were playing Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama. So we got in the tent with them. We're going, Sweet Home Alabama. I'll never forget that as long as I live. They were listening to all the different 80s music. And of course, I was into the 80s music back in the 80s. But so, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That is music to any American's ears.
Yeah, exactly.
To hear that overseas stuff.
To hear, a lot of German accents singing "Sweet Home to Alabama," holding up their big kegs of beer. It was pretty funny.
Memories, where the places football will take you.
Yeah, exactly right. And we won the championship and got them. That was fun. We won their championship they had there that year. So it was a blast.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, and you probably, I mean, those are the moment, the things you go, switching rooms you're sleeping in to get the AC in the right spot. That's just so you can get that opportunity,
exactly,
that introduction to
college
football.
That's kind of what you were telling those guys, all the things you got to do.
Covering the fish festival. But again, maybe that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
got some fried fish on the side.
Exactly.
Trying to edit video in a McDonald's because it was the only place with Wi-Fi. Though. That wasn't as fun. So many fun stops on the journey. And so you delved into the NFL a little bit. So I always think it's neat when collegiate coaches have that background as well. And you were in Dallas under Bill Parcells.
Yes.
Even in New York, I mean, that staff with the Jets, I think it was 07 or 08. I think Brian Daboll was on that
Brian
staff.
Yeah, Brian was on that staff.
Yeah, Mangini was the head coach.
Schottenheimer.
Right? Dan Quinn was
DQ
on that
staff. DQ was our D-line coach. I was secondary coach.
I mean, a bunch of former future head coaches on that staff.
There was a lot of really, really, really good guys.
In Dallas, what'd you learn under Bill Parcells
we don't have long enough on the show to tell you everything that I learned under Bill Parcells. I think the two main things I learned under Bill was how to organize and handle practice, and then number two, how to develop and build a team. Now, of course, it's a little different than NFL, but it's really helping me for what's going on in today's world.
Right.
And so those were two big parts. And then the thing that he was so unique at is I would call it working the room. And, you know, like if you go to a party and you want to kind of work the room, you meet people, you work the room. He would do that with the football team. He would work the room. He'd get guys individually, talk to them, know what to talk to them about, kind of tap into them, motivate them. It was really, really interesting. And I would sit back and kind of watch him at practice sometimes of how he would work that with coaches and players. He was a master at that, of motivating them and doing that type of thing. So I really learned a lot from Bill.
Was it challenging that first year where you jumped from the collegiate level to professional? Did you find that transition?
Yeah, it was.
Natural?
You know, I worked. Mike Zimmer was the defensive coordinator. Gary Gibbs was the linebacker coach. I was in the secondary. Then later on, Todd Bowles came in. Yeah. I mean, it's all these guys. You know, on offense, you had Sean Payton and all the different guys over there. And so it was a lot of fun, and learned a lot. Honestly, pro football is tough, but pro football is really a little bit, I'm not going to say easier, but it's more streamlined than college.
Sure.
Because all we do is football. We don't have to worry about recruiting. We don't have to worry about academics. We don't have to worry about discipline. You just do football.
Yeah.
It's business all the day long. And so I call it like getting my PhD in football because all I studied was ball.
Right.
And, sitting under Mike and them, it was great defensively, learned a lot there, and coached some great players, Roy Williams and Terrence Newman and Darren Woodson. It was just it was a lot of fun.
Well, that's a good transition because you talk about what the responsibility of the role entails, and you're doing more than just football now, but you're excited about that process. Since you went back to college football in 2008, you were with David Cutcliffe at Duke. I grew up a Duke fan, so I followed that. team. You guys turned it around real quick. Since you've got back, even in the 15 or so years since then, college football has, of course, evolved. Right. You have, NIL. Obviously, you've got the transfer portal. The television contracts change. I think that's a good thing too. Conference USA. It's going to be easier than ever to find Conference USA games. But and the league will have new members next year too. So there's a lot going on. You're someone who understands in relation to this what an FIU football coach needs to be successful, knows it goes beyond the field, the macro of it. You and Scott Carr and President Jessel have talked about that. You're having conversations about the macro with the administration. What in your mind does it take, will it take, will it continue to take for FIU to take the steps it wants to reach that next level? Because, you know, it can't just be done on the field. So right. What have you seen in the year that's encouraged you, and what does FIU need to continue to do to get there?
Well, I've been really encouraged by the administration, and, you know, especially Ken Jessel and especially Scott Carr and everybody else that's helped tremendously. I can't name all the names,
right.
But throughout the entire university, because I started naming names, I hurt somebody's feelings, because there's so many people that have helped in so many ways. I'm so thankful and grateful for that. But the saying I always have and is you're either getting better or you're getting worse. Nothing stays the same.
Right.
So we have gotten to a point, but we have to keep stepping. We have to keep stepping. We have to keep stepping. And so it's my job to keep showing them different things we need to step with. And when we do that, we will keep improving and we will keep getting better. And you're correct. The transfer portal and NIL and all the different academic things and APR and all of that is stuff that you can't sleep on. You've got to keep
as challenging
elevating.
As they are.
You got to keep working with it. You got to keep understanding that those are all change out there.
Yeah.
But change is good.
Yep.
But we have to adapt with the change, and we're working on doing that.
Well, it seems like this university is set up to potentially just be in a position where it can take advantage.
Right.
And you're in a huge international city,
right?
You have so many leaders and owners of businesses in South Florida. I forget what the number, but there's just hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of business owners that are FIU graduates,
right?
And just tapping into that. I know one of my favorite partnerships we have is with over in Wynwood, La Tropical.
Yeah.
I know we just announced one of those, those kind of partnerships. To me, it seems like a lot of Group of Five schools have tough challenges in this. Maybe in a smaller town,
right.
Not as many companies or organizations. But to me, this is a potentially exciting aspect to move forward with. And hey, you come to FIU, you can be part of something bigger than yourself at the university and in this city.
Right.
To me,
exactly. There's so many options, and we need to keep approaching people to step up and join and get in. And when they do, we'll keep elevating the program. And it can be. It could be something very, very special. There's no doubt about it.
If there was Mac, if there was NIL when you were at Georgia Tech or Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. who would have been your ideal sponsor? I'd be going straight to Waffle House.
Yeah, Waffle House, and there's a big tower right beside us called Coca-Cola. Is that right there in Atlanta? There's also Delta Airlines, and there's a lot of different things there.
Yeah.
I think that there's all those options here, and as we kind of start understanding how that whole NIL world works and all the it's kind of the wild, wild west out there right now.
Well, it seems like you went real big corporation right there. I'm going to the local restaurant.
I think that Waffle House, was started by a Georgia Tech guy.
That's true. Yep,
there,
on the fraternity house.
Yeah,
I walked by. It's holy ground, man.
So I think that there's a lot of opportunities for growth at the university. And, wow, just think what this university has done in 50 years.
Right. Yep.
And our football program is our 21st year this year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
There's so much we could do stepping forward that can absolutely, be amazing here in the next 5 to 10 years. I think that's beyond special.
Oh, very exciting. I want to get to what's coming up here in the short term, right? The 2023 campaign, a lot of players returning. A lot of those guys got their feet wet last year.
Yeah.
Some of their first meaningful action. Grayson James, your quarterback for much of the season, showed a lot of fun things, dual threat ability, leading a comeback in that La Tech game. I think 320 something yards in that game. I really admired what Hayden Carlson did in the final game.
Yep.
How tough is that to really not have that many meaningful snaps in your career? And then now it really matters.
Yeah.
And I know we threw a couple picks, but that's because he was showing a willingness to be brave in that game. And he threw four touchdowns to his credit, too. I was really happy for him in that. So I guess to spotlight quarterbacks in this initial question, you know, what's important for those two this offseason? I know Jenkins from Miami Central enters the picture as well, and you always want competition. You were you were listening to a podcast last week. You said now, you know, guys can look over their shoulder and know, hey, there's somebody maybe bigger, stronger is entering the fold too. I think that only helps. But what are you looking for out of that position this offseason? What's important? Because we saw what this team can be when any of them is playing.
Right. Well, you know, number one, you want the leadership quality of it. You want them to have confidence in their ability, a great grasp of the offense, and then the ability to make plays. And we're excited about the spring and how it's going three practices in and starting to see that. And the guys keep developing and keep improving. And they've all got excellent talent. They've all got different strengths. And so it's fun to watch them.
I think it was just admirable as well, with two games to go, the conversation of a bowl berth was still in the picture. You know, we had four wins. The guys fought, they grinded and had an opportunity, and nearly got to that fifth win at the end of the regular season. But you look at how the roster construction was heading into that year and getting those four. I heard the other day, you had six scholarship. I didn't really put this together. Six scholarship offensive linemen, is that right?
When now we first got here, and then we signed two more to get in and for spring practice, and we had a couple, you know, other guys came in the summer. So, but we're far ahead of that now.
Yeah, I think it's 15 or something. Yeah, like, how so much that, does that? Can you just see the depth on the practice?
Yeah, you can
field
see the
now?
Depth on the practice field. It also helps you practice better.
Right.
And that's important. We also have more D linemen, which helps us practice better. So, we're definitely much improved from where we are. Now we just got to go keep improving and show it, getting some more W's.
Defensively, you know, you tell some guys that have had the rock in their hands their whole life, hey, we want to take it out. I know you love scoring touchdowns, and you have, but we want you to do something else. That can elicit a negative reaction in a lot of folks, but it appeared to us that Sean Peterson took it in full stride, and he became one of the best edge rushers in, if not, I'd say the country, certainly in Conference USA. How did that, to you, speak to his unselfishness, his ability to be a leader moving forward, and what do you see out of his ceiling as we move forward and he becomes one of the guys along with Donovan Manuel and Demetrius Hill to lead the defense?
Well, you know, this time last year, Sean was – the first three practices was still playing running back.
Yeah.
And so what we did in the first four practices or so, I would switch them in individual period. Everybody, O-line – the whole team would switch their positions to a similar position on defense or offense.
Right.
And they would work. And so we did that for an individual period for about 15 minutes and just kind of watched them move around so you felt comfortable. And he stuck out tremendously at outside backer, the way he dropped, the way he rushed, the way he moved, his size, his athleticism. So we did it a couple of days, and then I called him in and I go, what do you think about if you went to outside backer? I said, you're a good running back, but we have some other good running backs and rotate. And I said, but I think you have an opportunity to be a special outside linebacker. And he's like, you know, well, coach, you know, coming out of high school, I was a highly ranked linebacker.
Yeah.
But I was also a highly ranked tailback, but I wanted to play tailback. A lot of schools wanted me to play linebacker. And I said, well, you just think about it, you know, talk to your parents. I'll talk to them if they want to. And he decided that's what he wanted to try to do. He felt like that was the best thing for him. And so he moved over there and did really, really well.
I think it worked out.
He had the very first game had that huge sack on that drive that really changed the game. And and he's so much farther ahead this time than he was, of course, last year. I mean, he understands it. He's doing better. He's so much better in practice. He's got a great feel for it. And I'm looking for him to have a super, super year.
Internally in this program, everyone feels the optimism. Everyone feels the energy. They're aware of that. It can be hard to convey that to media recruits, right? You bring in the number one ranked recruiting class in Conference USA off a 4-8 season. Like, to us, we know 4-8 season is improvement, right? We saw so many huge jumps. We know the positivity that comes with that.
Right.
But it can be hard to convey, hey, we're getting things rolling now. We went 4-8. How'd you convey that to this recruiting class? What were you trying to emphasize?
Right.
So I think it's very, there's probably not that too many programs across the country There were four games under 500 that get the top ranked recruiting class. Right. So something's being translated in the recruiting game. Why do you think
you
were successful?
Our assistant coaches did a phenomenal job of just combing the area. We were out and working it. And then when we brought the guys on campus, you know, we got them with our other players, and they could ask them. I could tell them what I want to, but they could ask them individually.
Right.
And they all felt the same thing, and our guys were saying the same thing about the future being bright. And so that's how we were able to do that and excited about our future with those young men, there's no doubt.
All right, so tell us a little bit what we've got coming up. Spring game, April 22nd here, right? And then we got a scrimmage, we mentioned it a little bit earlier, in Liberty City at some point in this spring. Just tell us what's the next couple of weeks looking like.
This week, tomorrow, we've got a full padded practice, and which is called a 50-50 day, so it's 50% tackle, 50% not.
Okay.
Then Thursday, we'll have another padded practice, but it's a non-tackle. So you're just studding up, and then Saturday we'll have a scrimmage on the practice field. So a big scrimmage. We'll practice and scrimmage some. I still want to be able to practice and learn and go. Scrimmages are really good, but sometimes you don't touch on everything. You know, just different things happen. And then the next week we'll do the same thing, and on that Saturday we'll have the at Hadley Park there.
Yeah,
That's awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. And they're in Liberty City, and we're excited about doing that. Hope there'll be a lot of people come out that morning and check it out.
Yeah.
And, we have a lot of players from over there that played at Northwestern and Central and Edison and Booker T. Washington, all those schools. So we're excited about doing that. And then we'll have the spring game on April 22nd, which will also be Junior Day.
Yeah.
And so we'll have a lot of players here for that, a lot of recruits. But we've been having a ton of recruits out at practice.
Yeah,
which has really been exciting having them come by. And so we're just keep doing that. That's your lifeblood there. That's a lifeline for sure.
It's in full swing now.
Yeah.
For these weeks, and I know you really enjoy that process. Before we go, it's obligatory to me to ask and inquire of how your golf game has been. Have you been able to hit the course at all recently?
I have not hit the golf ball once.
Do you have any plans to this summer?
I haven't hit the ball once.
Well, you're going to have to at Topgolf in Orlando when we have the Paws Up Tour. So
I hit it when
practice.
We have our recruiting Topgolf. We take them to Topgolf recruiting. we'll hit it there. But I'll swing the club a little bit after spring practice, a couple times in May at some outings. Little bit in June and a couple times in July, and then I'll put them back up again. So that's why I'm not any good. I don't play very much.
But
the one good thing is I get my money's worth.
Right.
Because I have a lot more shots than most people. So, I mean, if you only have a few shots, you don't get your money's worth, the way I look at it.
That's a good way to look. I had 123 shots last weekend, so maybe that's the way I should approach
on 9 or 18?
Thankfully, 18. Thankfully, 18. I said, and I've said this for like every time I golf the last four rounds, I'm not going out again until I get a lesson, until I get a four-pack of lessons.
Yeah,
and then you get an invite, and then you go shoot 120. And you're like, repeat the process.
Go get a lesson.
Yeah, muscle memory. Yeah. If you practice the right thing, exactly, you have an idea of what you're doing.
Exactly.
All right, I want to finish this with.
So you're not playing in the Masters, I take it.
I need to find someone who can give me that guest round or whatever.
Yeah.
They do that a couple times a year. Mm-hmm. Got to find someone, but I need to get better before I go slice at Augusta. I'm not worthy of it.
I don't think they'll let me or you.
That's
on,
my
I
fear.
I don't think they'll let me or you on Augusta.
That's my fear. I get an invite, but I'm not good enough. Sir, we need to escort you off. You're not good
enough.
I want to end this with a draft. I'll give you a choice here. You want to do a draft of your top five television shows?
Oh my goodness.
Or your top five Miami restaurants?
Oh, my goodness.
Give me a pick here.
Five.
And ideally, we're going to make this into a graphic and push out and have a vote on who had the better draft. So there is a bit of pressure, I suppose. I should have given you a heads up on this.
Five top television shows.
So you'll draft one, and then I would draft two, and then back to you.
It can be any time for television show, right?
Correct. All right,
we'll go television.
We'll go television. All right, you're the guest. You get the first pick. Our goal is to get to five. So top five. Your top television show.
My top television show.
I'm loaded. I'm confident with my picks.
Now, can this be like on Hulu? One of those.
It can be streaming, cable. Okay. Back in the day.
Okay, The Chosen.
The Chosen. What is that on? I'm ignorant. What is that on? What is that about?
It's about the life of Christ.
Okay, that sounds like a good one.
It is a good one. Okay. It's really interesting.
I'm not gonna knock that one. I'm gonna go Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso for number one.
Good.
Maybe a little cliche. I get the second pick because
you get the second pick. Okay.
Actually, pretty probably switch this around. How I Met Your Mother. Mm-hmm. I think Barney Stinson is high level comedy.
Okay.
There are probably some scenes that would be canceled in today's era, but it was the early 2000s. How I Met Your Mother is my number two. So back
to
you now.
Trying to think. Oh man, I haven't watched many television shows. Might have to go back in the day here.
Okay. I mean, how far back are we going? I remember watching Andy Griffin Show growing up. Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah. How about let's go the Andy Griffin Show.
Andy Griffin Show.
I mean, you don't get much better and more classic than that, do you?
Was it Ron Howard as a young Opie?
Yes,
right?
And you got Barney Fife. Beat Barney Fife.
He was the original Barney Stinson.
Yeah, so everybody my age is like Barney Fife. You can't meet Barney. I mean, yes.
Oh, you got another pick now.
Third pick. Let's try to go something like CSI Miami or one of
CSI?
Those.
CSI?
Something, one of those okay, CSIs.
CSI. I mean, it's
one of the CSIs. There's like 50 of them,
it's like
right?
The longest running television show or something like that.
Exactly,
it's the reason it's been on CBS forever. Okay. Ted Lasso was like the wholesome pick.
Yeah.
Right? So that I won't draft This Is Us because I went Ted Lasso. So I'll say Yellowstone.
Yellowstone
is very well received all across the country right now. Kevin Costner.
Yeah, he's a good one.
We've got a lot of spin-offs of it, so I'll go Yellowstone for my third. And the fourth, get another comedy in there. I think.
See, you got a cheat sheet. I didn't even have a cheat sheet.
I didn't let you prepare for
this.
How
about that?
I think next time I might alert our guest of what the topic may be.
All right.
But I do have a cheat sheet here. I'm going to go with Community.
Community.
You ever watch that one? Uh-huh. Kind of an off-brand.
I'm going to throw you off on this one. It's a show. Sports Center. It's a show.
Hey, SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. That is fun television.
Scott Van Pelt.
Stanford
Steve. I know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him a little bit. He, our wide receiver coach and him went to school together at Stanford when I was at Colorado.
Okay.
So, yeah. I've met him before. He's
That's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Been on the Van Pelt show before one time.
Yeah.
I'd stay up late for it. So, yeah.
And last pick.
Mac,
ever watch reality television?
I've always say reality television is not reality. My famous saying. And all my friends and all my kids look at me like, it's not reality. The show that I don't watch, I guess that everybody watches, is The Bachelor, Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Bachelor. The Bachelor, but I don't watch it, but that'd be one of the top five shows.
I got looped into it big time, 2019, man. Hannah B. season, I think.
All my young coaches watch The Bachelor sometimes when I let them get home.
It's great drama. Well produced.
Yeah.
Reality television.
You really think that's reality?
It's real. It's real. That's awesome. It can actually wrap. I'm surprised. My girlfriend said, just watch an episode. I'm like, fine. You know, I'm just pouting as I go to sit on the couch. And 45 minutes later, I can't believe Pilot Pete did that. That's unbelievable. Why would he take her to bed? I'm just locked in. It's probably better. Stay out.
That's five.
So that's your fifth.
Yeah.
I'll go Outer Banks.
Outer Banks.
Outer Banks. Outer Banks is fun.
So you don't watch any regular TV shows. You watch all...
I'm on the streaming stuff, I
guess. You're on the streaming stuff. I got it.
I'm trying to think of something on ABC, CBS. There's Ghosts on CBS, which like a lot of historical figures become ghosts. It's actually kind of creatively written. But no, I guess I'm a millennial going with all the streaming stuff. Guilty for that. But that's a good list. All right, so we'll compile a five.
All right.
See what the vote may be.
Who goes with?
Yeah,
I like
we'll
it.
We'll see.
We'll find out what age groups are watching.
Yeah, I guess the demographic of who's voting may just – so putting it out on Twitter may give me the automatic win on. That's funny. Well, Coach, I'm really looking forward to this upcoming season. It's going to be a fun fall. I know we're getting a little bit of a taste of it here in the spring, but – bunch of returning guys, number one recruiting class, and we're going to go on this Paws Up tour here in
fun.
A little bit. I know
Funky
Buddha again in Lauderdale, right?
Yeah,
and
nice.
I know we have our event here in Miami.
Yep.
We'll be up in Orlando again. That'll be the Topgolf.
Yeah.
Because last year I think we did American Social, so we'll be Topgolf this year. So it's good. Bringing the brand around the state, And that'll hold us over until opening week at La Tech, if I'm right off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think it's a 0 week, matter of fact.
Week 0, yeah.
August 26th.
So we got homecoming on Saturday.
Yeah, Liberty University.
We're on Saturday, and we'll have that month of weekday games and Tuesday,
that's
Wednesday.
But
that's good for the conference, like we said. The television contract, get more exposure. So we're gearing up for a fun year. So I appreciate it as always. Always enjoy the conversations. And we'll see you out of practice here soon.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks
for
the time.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
All right.